Good afternoon, Little Saigon, Seattle. Good afternoon to all my friends out there, listeners, people out there. Getting by on a Sunday. It is September the 27th, I think. Is it the 27th? I keep forgetting. It is September the 27th, 2020, and it's right around 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and I'm talking with my friend Jim. How you doing, Jim?
I am doing okay, Dan.
You've been...
I'm actually healthier right now than Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah, we're both healthier than RBG.
I'm sitting in front of a Walmart, and there's a flag flying from a flagstaff, and the flag is at half-mast, or half-staff, as they sometimes say. And it's just, I don't know, it's just kind of creepy to think about, you know. The country is officially honoring the passing of a Supreme Court justice that, based on what I understand, about a third of the country doesn't care about anything to do with politics. And then like 63 million or so Trump supporters really didn't like Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And then 65 million or so Hillary Clinton fans are mortified that Ruth Bader Ginsburg dared to pass away, you know, instead of leaving office when Obama could have replaced her.
So. You know, one of the things I thought about is, like, what if she'd been in a freezer for like a few months already? Like, what if she actually died and they just did a really good job of keeping it a secret and then somebody found out? And that sounds weird, but I don't know. It seems like if they could have... It seems to me that if they could fake her being alive through the election, they would have done it.
I think they're faking Joe Biden being coherent.
Yeah.
And, you know, lively anyway, you know, he's pretending that he's there, but everyone knows that there's not really... He's not the man he used to be, right?
No, he's not.
So yeah, I think you're right. If they could have pretended that Ruth Bader Ginsburg was still alive, they would do that. But, you know, she has friends and family, and they have Facebook and Twitter accounts, and, you know, what are you going to do?
I don't know. Hey, you mentioned to me that you want to talk about something before we got into...
Oh, that was it. That was the first topic, was Ruth Bader Ginsburg being, driving around between Louisiana and Houston, and I'm now back in Louisiana. Actually, I was in Houston proper for just a few minutes, but I was mostly in the Kingwood area of Houston. But, I just, you know, kept seeing flags at half-mast, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And on the Libertarian Enterprise website today, which is ncc-1776.org, for those of you who don't know the Libertarian Enterprise, L. Neil Smith was saying, am I the only one who keeps thinking, ding dong, the witch is dead?
Well, you know, and that's the other thing, too. It's like, I don't know what to think about these things any longer when they happen. A long time ago, I used to get suckered into the isn't it great that the good guy won type stuff, but I don't know what to think. Like, just because she's dead, I don't know what to think of this woman, Amy Coney, or Amy Coney Barnett. What's her name? Coney Barrett.
Amy Barrett Cohen? Yeah, I don't know.
Sasha Barrett...
Right. Listen, they're all either celebrities or they are, you know, garbage. Official politicians or official judges, magistrates. I don't know what to think of these people. I gather she has a religious preference, so that's nice. I think it might be Catholic. I don't know.
Yeah.
So we might get to hear Dianne Feinstein yell at her again and say that it's terrible that Catholics are allowed to exist. That's apparently what Dianne Feinstein said the last time a federal judge who was a Catholic and a woman was up for some federal judgeship in front of Dianne Feinstein's part of the committee?
I don't know.
Feinstein is a real, real bigot. I mean, she is really a nasty bigot. She doesn't want poor people to have guns to protect their property, you know, that kind of thing.
But do you think she's an uncontrolled bigot? I mean, here's what I want to get at. I just don't believe the shit that a lot of these people say. In fact, okay, this is where I'm getting at. When I look at Biden right now, it becomes clearer and clearer that these are managed people. I mean, there was an interview with Biden where I think the interviewer was helping him. You know, I was reading about this, like basically prompting him for answers. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's not how that's supposed to work. You're supposed to ask.
Right, no, obviously not. And I think he's reading things off a teleprompter. He's flubbing his answers. He's been recorded on mic saying essentially that, you know, I messed that one up.
Yeah,
because he's not there. I mean, you know, this isn't Joe Biden. This is Joe Biden's handlers.
Yeah. It's just, I wonder to what extent, like, whenever we see the conflict, I no longer see it as conflict. I see it as theater. And so if someone says, you know, oh, this person said something terrible, like, do you really think they said that terrible thing by accident, or do you think it was on purpose? Because a lot of it seems to be purposeful at this point.
Right, and I think the short answer to your question is that we have no way of knowing. You know, God knows and could tell us, so that would be a way of knowing. But we have no terrestrial mechanism for understanding these things and understanding, you know, what really happened. The deep state controls a lot of aspects of our society and culture. They pick, you know, who gets to be on the ballot. Process for having the presidential debate commission, for example, I think is a great example for how this is not real, it is theater, right?
Yeah.
Because the presidential debate commission says that you have to have at least 15% of the national polls that they list what those national polls are, and the only candidates that those national polls are willing to list are Joe Biden and Donald Trump. So the Green Party and the Libertarian Party and any other party are not allowed to be in the presidential debates, and they're not allowed to, the public isn't allowed to be enthusiastic about them. All of that's gone. That was something that the League of Women Voters, when they controlled it, had a set of rules, and when Ross Perot met those rules, they invited him onto the stage. And he actually was part of that. And they did that in 92, and they did that in 96. And then the evil, mass-murdering, baby-raping cannibals who run the Democrat and Republican parties took that away from the League of Women Voters. They created this fake National Commission on Presidential Debates. They destroyed freedom and independence and sovereignty, and they hate the voters, and they hate the system, they hate the Constitution. All Republicans and all Democrats who are members of the party in an official capacity hate the Constitution and don't want to have any alternatives to the Republicans and the Democrats. They hate us. They want us all to be enslaved. They want us all to be in death camps. And if they don't admit it, they are liars, in my opinion.
I agree. So I had a magical inspiration yesterday while I was horrified. I was horrified by a thought I've had for a couple years now. People that have listened to my podcast have heard me use the phrase the infinite gray nothing.
And I have heard you say that a number of times, going back to our first podcast together. We might have even talked about this back in 2017 for a bit.
We very well.
Tell me more about the horrifying thought.
The infinite gray nothing is this horrifying thought that this crooked, sideways dystopia, at least for practical purposes, can go on well past my death and maybe for hundreds or thousands of years. The infinite gray nothing theory is the theory that if you've gone through enough of the absurd and all of the absurd looks like it should have stopped it, but nothing stops, then what you're dealing with is the perpetual motion of evil itself. And it's a scary thought, because the infinite gray nothing would also be a kind of refutation or proof against the existence of God. I gotta be honest with you. If someone were to tell me that this shit show could last another 100 years, and I believe in God, so I'm saying this as a man of faith, but if someone were to tell me that this shit show could go on for another 100 or 200 years, I think that if I lived that long, eventually I think my faith would be in jeopardy. And I know that people might not understand what I'm saying, because I don't want people harmed. I really don't. But what we're in right now is a persistent state of torture. And it's not like we just arrived here. You know, Jim can tell you his own stories. Lots of people have stories. We didn't just show up at Torture America. It's just that it's gotten a lot fucking worse. And you know, another thing before I pass it back to you, I saw somebody quoting that oft-quoted platitude today, it's always darkest before the dawn, and that's really great. But how the fuck do you know what time it is? Right, Jim? It's great to say,
right.
You know?
It's a metaphor, and like all metaphors and analogies, you know, it breaks down at the implementation level. You just have to be like, okay, I get what you're saying, but that really is not helping. It's just not helping. Because if you're looking outside and you're in a tent and you go outside the tent and you look at the sky, you can tell if you know how the sky works, roughly what time it is. And you can stay in the tent and wait until first light, because in the east, if you know which way east is, you will see the before dawn, you will see some light. And so, you know, so that analogy is darkest before the dawn has a certain value in terms of, you know, understanding night and day. But as a metaphor for what's going on right now, it doesn't make any sense, because unless someone who knows what's going to happen in the future, like God, tells you that the dawn is about to break, it's very difficult for you as a man of faith, or for anyone, faithful or unfaithful, believers or unbelievers, to know what to expect. You know, if dawn is coming, where is it? And I would like to address the angst-ridden, you know, question that could this system go on for another 100 years? I would like to answer that with a resounding no. Back in 1996, I worked with a guy who said that he had been told by people he knew in what I believe was the deep state then, that they didn't think they could get this to work much past 2019 timeframe. That was kind of where it was all going to end up, with them losing control. They wouldn't be able to make it work after that. They would have to do something else. And so, you know, right on time. And this, I admit that this could be self-fulfilling prophecy by them, that they have enough power over terrestrial affairs, and they have enough willingness to just admit that it's time to enslave people in actual death camps and just get rid of all of this. These limits to our power are just, you know, are just crowding the people who believe that they should have unlimited power. And so I don't think they intend to have the system as we know it last much past the election. And that's what, the 3rd or the 5th of November, something like that?
Yeah, November the 3rd is the election. And then on November the 4th, we pass through a doorway called the Doorway of Tomorrow. And in tomorrow, really? We get to go back to yesterday, where everything's okay again on November the 4th. That's what happened.
Is this like that Westworld Tomorrowland? Because they had some neat stuff in that first film about Westworld Tomorrowland. I think it was called Tomorrowland.
I mean, you know, it's more like, it could be like that. But the key thing to note here is that for some crazy reason, I had this horrible thought yesterday that everything does go back magically back to normal on November the 4th. And then I asked myself, why do you think that's a horrible thought? Because this is where I'm at. Like, I don't want people harmed. I don't want people injured. I don't want people sick or dying. Although all those things are happening right now. Right now around the world, great crimes are being committed. But I don't, nobody who has a heart wants that. And if on November the 4th, we could suddenly go back to like what we would recognize as a reasonable existence, that would be great. And so what I was thinking is, what if that is exactly what's going to happen? Like on November the 4th, we all wake up, the masks are gone, the bullshit around the lockdown's over, President Trump goes on the TV and says, folks, we won the great battle against evil, evil's been destroyed, everything's fine, go to the fucking mall and shop. Black Friday, right around the corner. And it's insane. That thought is insane, Jim. And yet...
Well, it is, and it's something that I would like to dispel, if you don't mind.
Well, no, but it's connected to an energy drink. Like, what if the key is not just that things go back to normal, but that on October the 5th, I debut a brand new energy drink that you can buy from me that contains vitamins, minerals, nutrients, all kinds of stuff that's good for you. What do you think?
I will say that you can probably market a drink called the Infinite Gray Nothing, but I don't know. I don't know who would invest, and I also don't know who would buy this drink.
What
it's
if
just, it's a really disturbing
whoa,
idea?
Whoa! You just gave me a because I didn't have a name for it yet. Like I didn't connect A to B like you just did. But what if I had let's call it a nutritional drink called the Infinite Gray Nothing. And one of the benefits of this nutritional drink is it totally clears you out, and then it leaves a snake in the bowl that wraps around and around and around. It makes your stool very firm, and it's the Infinite Gray Nothing.
I like it. I don't think you can sell it. I don't think investors will throw money at it. But I like the idea. I think it has a symmetry and a beauty, and it really speaks to a part of my soul that just wants people to be wacky and bizarre and just admit that they have no clue what to expect and that they have been, you know, you remember our plan, and I think we had this plan, and if I'm mistaken, we might have even touched on this, but we were going to talk about trauma-based mind control at one point.
Well, we kind of did, and we still can.
All I wanted to say in reference to that is that we've, as a world, as a planet, the human race has been going through a lot of trauma-based mind control.
True.
And it's deliberate. And you and I have seen that it was deliberate. And you and I, back in March and April, worked out kind of the timeline for when did this start and what were the triggers, why did things happen up until June of 2019. We had what you and I could label in your terminology a reasonably tolerable, you know, life was going on and people were hiring software guys and people were hiring guys like me to do private equity projects and things were happening. And then July, Jeffrey Epstein is in jail. Everybody in the deep state is panicked. They know that everything that they've been doing that is terrible and evil, all of the child raping, all of the child slaughtering, all of the Moloch worshiping, blood drinking evil that they are, is coming out. They knew that. And they implemented a plan that they've had at least since 2010, the Rockefeller Foundation has...
Lockstep. Operation Lockstep.
Operation Lockstep.
Yeah.
And this is all trauma-based. This is all mind control. And, you know, the sad thing is that I see people getting out of cars at this Walmart with their masks draped below their chin, but they wore it all the way from home so they wouldn't forget it. Aww, she's wearing a muzzle. They're so cool.
Listen, I don't like it. It's like I was at a place the other day, and I, you know, full disclosure, I've been very, very honest about this. When I go to the grocery store because I gotta buy food, I will put the mask on. And I'm out of my crappy cheap mask, so I have to use the quote-unquote good mask right now, which is a worse mask because it's harder to breathe, the N95. I have an N95. It's horrible. There's no way to really cheat with it effectively unless I cut...
Oh, there is. Well, there is.
I can cut holes
in it. Holes in it with a knife.
Well,
holes in it.
Actually, you just made a good point. Tonight, I have to go shopping tomorrow, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cut some holes in it, and then I'm going to put a big old fuck you on the front of it. It's camouflage. Well, because the other day, okay, I did something I shouldn't have done because it was a really poor use of my money. But the other day I did something and this person showed up, you know, showed up downstairs and I went to meet them and they're wearing a mask and it says Biden Harris on it. And I'm thinking to myself, back in the day when the Death Star used to have a functional kind of quasi crappy market and people had some sense of a work ethic and respecting your customer, back in the day, people would think to themselves, you know, maybe I want Biden to win, but maybe I should just not have that mask on at work, right? Back in the day, wouldn't that have been somebody's, like, rational sort of expectation? That
wearing
you're not-
a t-shirt for either candidate to work as part of your work attire would have been regarded by a lot of people as not the done thing, correct? I see where you're going.
Dare I say impolite, and I don't care who you fucking are, Republican, Democrat, communist, excuse me, I could have just said communist. I don't give a fuck who you are. I don't want to see it. And I see this guy with his fucking mask on, Biden Harris, and I look at him. And because he cannot see my face, because he cannot see the expression I'm making, he probably thinks everything's okay. But
right.
It's not okay.
Right. No, and the opposite thing happened to me early today. I was still at the conference hotel that we were put up at for our role in this event, and there was a woman standing in the lobby wearing one of those black masks, white woman, probably in her late 50s, and as I walked, I think I was walking away from the breakfast counter, or I might have been walking away from the checkout desk. I'm not sure where I was. No, come to think of it, I'm sure I was. I needed to buy a Sprite because one of our friends was having stomach issues, and that helps with those. And so I was at the front desk doing that, and as I walked past this woman, I could see that she was looking at me. And the fact that I wasn't wearing a mask, I haven't worn a mask the whole weekend.
God bless you, Jim. God bless you for doing that.
Well, and God bless the Christians who, you know, who were having this event, that none of them were wearing masks. There were 18 of us in the room at the same time, and we weren't social distancing or nothing.
Well, the trick is you immediately sit down and pretend to eat, and then the viruses don't come for you.
Ah, that is some sort of trick. I don't know that the viruses have been informed, but I'm glad to know this trick.
No, it turns out, and I'm sorry for interrupting you, but it turns out viruses have little propellers. Viruses know when you're eating. They know when you're alone, and they know if you've been bad or good.
Oh, okay, now I need to know something then. If they have little propellers and I wear a hat with a beanie propeller, does that help ward off the virus?
Well, because they have little propellers, you know, like a blimp will have engines for to maintain stationary. To maintain station, even if there's a wind. So the little viruses that are airborne, which would technically mean, if not, they're not lighter than air, but they're so light they can stay in the air a while. They got the little propeller, so if it's windy out, they can maintain station. You know what I mean? They just don't blow away with the wind. It's amazing.
I understand what you're saying. I guess I don't really know how to interpret all of this because it sounds like Wacky Dan stuff. And I like
Well,
the wacky
here's
Dan.
Wacky Dan stuff. I don't think viruses have magical propellers for station keeping. I don't think it makes a difference if you're sitting down and eating or not. I know that sounds radical. I'm pretty certain that makes no fucking difference to a virus if you're sitting down.
So this one woman was looking, and her eyes just looked like she wanted to kill me. She had this expression that I couldn't read because half of her face was hidden. But her eyes really were just boring into me, and they were looking, she was looking at me. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I looked at her, and as I turned away, I said, "Go fuck yourself." And then I walked down the hall. Because that is how I feel about these people. This whole business of a prior restraint on freedom of expression, this whole business on mandatory, unconstitutional mask wearing, all of this tyranny is nonsense. And one of the speakers at this event spoke by Zoom connection, by some sort of, you know, telephone mediated connection. And so they had the pickup from that on the big screen in front of us, and he was telling us things, and the audio was going in and out, and they fixed the audio problem, and he was telling us about, you know, COVID has affected some people, and then COVID-19 has affected some people's finances. And I said, not COVID, tyranny. And when the word tyranny came out of my mouth, the connection dropped.
Wow.
He was just gone. He was not there anymore. He was not part of this, because he did not say that these edicts were tyranny. He was actually saying that a lot of people have been affected by, and some people have been injured by, and some people have been killed by COVID-19. And as far as I know, there's some truth to that.
I've not met anyone yet that can show me an authentic case of a person under the age of 70 who's been injured or killed by this.
Right, and people over the age of 70 get sick and die from ordinary flu and all kinds of other stuff. That's a valid cutoff.
Yeah.
But my point is that, you know, by not acknowledging tyranny as the source of a lot of our problems, I think that this guy was wandering off into a very strange place, a land of, you know, unreality that I don't get it. I don't agree with it. I don't approve of it. And I think, you know, one of the things that we have to acknowledge is that God knows what's really going on. And if God knew that there was a terrible virus that was hurting people and that 65 million people on Earth would be killed by it, God would be putting into our hearts and speaking to those prophets and apostles who hear from God that this is real and this is something and nothing of that sort has happened. Nothing at all of that sort has happened. And I know people who hear from God and who have that kind of relationship, and they are just like, you know, fit to be tied, because they see these people and this stage play. All of this theater is just totally bizarre and disgusting. You know, how can people be upset with Trump that Ruth Bader Ginsburg is dead when Obama was president? Before Trump, Ruth Bader Ginsburg had an opportunity to retire while he was president, and she would not. Now, why is that? Why didn't she? Well, because she didn't trust Obama. And why would you? He was busy selling foreign policy for hundreds of millions of dollars that he put in his pocket and he put in the Clinton Foundation pockets. So I wouldn't trust him if I were Ruth Bader Ginsburg. But the fact that that's true doesn't seem to penetrate to any of the psychopathic liberal socialist communist meat hooks in the Democrat or Republican parties. They're just idiots in so many ways.
So here's something. Back in March, when I was looking at this and talking to you, one of the things I thought back then was that snow day couldn't last that long. And I expected it to be over in about 90 days. I expected that by June or July, which means a couple months ago, I expected things to start getting really unglued. And I have
and they
to.
Did.
Well,
in
they
May,
they
the
they
rioting.
Have, the rioting, though, it's not. To me, it's still okay, this is what I have to say about riots and protests. If you see videos of them on YouTube or you see a television show about them, they're probably not real. I'm not saying that's always the case, but listen, there have been some big protests, and I barely heard about them, which really tells me they probably happened. And then there have been these protests that get all kinds of coverage, and I have no fucking clue what's really going on. And as far as the riots go, listen, until I see evidence that the police departments of these cities are actually using the best tactics and strategy to control crazy people, it all looks like fiction to me, dude. And I'm not saying people aren't getting injured. I know people are getting injured, probably, but it also looks like a lot of bullshit. It's like this, okay, there's a story today about this guy in Atlanta, BLM guy in Atlanta, and he basically used the death of George Floyd and the BLM stuff to get a hold of hundreds of thousands of dollars. And he used that money to go, you know, shopping and have fun. And you know something? I gotta say, if he were literally just taking the money and then doing shit with it that doesn't involve setting people's businesses on fire, I don't like fraud and I don't like grifters, but I would say that that is morally more redeemable than taking that money and ruining people's lives. So before I go much further, I would say in the world of terrible people, it would have been worse if he'd used that money to do something to like set people's homes on fire. But what also struck me is I thought back to 2017 when you and I were working together and how hard it was to get any money at all to do any of the things you wanted to do and how hard it is today for people to get money. It seems to me that the shittiest people in this country have no problem getting Fed notes. I think that's a fair statement. BLM has no problem getting money. So whatever we're seeing in the streets is fully funded, fully orchestrated. When the television, you know, you mentioned that guy Zoom when you said the word tyranny and then Zoom gave out, turned off.
Right.
But when we see the real riots, there's not going to be any fucking coverage, and they will cut it out in the middle if it starts getting real. That's what I think.
Well, sure, and one of the things that you and I have discussed, which I think is part of the answer to your, is it possible for this to happen, to go back to normal, and you sell an energy drink on November 5th, and we have 100 more years of this quasi-normal. And the reason I think the answer to that is no, is because if Trump wins the election and the announcement of his victory is made, the Kamala Harris government is not going to concede defeat. And they've already announced that. Nancy Pelosi has announced that. Hillary Clinton has announced that. It doesn't matter what Joe Biden thinks, because the evidence that he actually is capable of thinking is so scant on the ground. And so I think what we'll have is a country with two claimed presidents. There will be a Kamala Harris presidency, and there will be a Donald Trump presidency, and there will be two governments, and there will be what amounts to civil war. And I am not saying, I am not able to say that I believe that this is really what will be happening. This could still be theater. This could still be a big fake, that they are, you know, as enthusiastic for each other as Donald Trump and Hillary and Bill Clinton were back before Donald ran for president in 2016. You know all of the photos I'm talking about of them at different events.
That's right.
Howling it up, glad-handing, smiling at each other, laughing at the general public because they're so pathetic and poor and exploited, and they're laughing about being exploiters together, and that's all they are, in my opinion.
I think that's right. And again, you know, I think I entered into this conversation deliberately promoting a straw man, which I suppose is not a great way to do things, but deliberately promoting a straw man because truly, I'm not really sure what's going to happen next. Like, I did not think that we would make it all the way to September without some serious problems. I expected this country to be in much worse shape by now. And that's the thing that people, it strikes people because they'll say, what do you mean, Dan? It's really bad. No, it's not bad. Not yet. It's terrible. Don't get me wrong. There are horrible fucking things happening. Do not get me wrong. But in terms of human history, we barely stuck our foot into the great ocean of pain. And I just don't know. I did not expect things to stay together. I did not expect, for example, to be able to still go to... This is going to sound stupid and selfish and ridiculous, but at this point, I did not expect to be able to go to the Chevron and buy beer. Like, I didn't expect the Chevron to be open. I expected it to be a fucking burnout fucking crust of a thing. I did not expect it to be still functioning. I did not expect to be able to still buy food by this point. I didn't. And so, and again, I also didn't fully understand back in March, but the potential power of the scamdemic as a tool for rationing either. So there's been a kind of rationing of existence that's helped them out, I think. Has helped them out with respect to inflation and has helped them out with respect to shortages. But that doesn't mean people aren't starving. When I look at these pictures of people going to food banks, it looks like there's a lot of demand for food right now. And people don't have the money to buy the food. Yeah, go ahead.
No, there is a lot of demand, and there are a lot of people who haven't paid rent in months and have no way of paying it and who can't pay their utility bills. And there are federal programs, and there is state money in a lot of states that provides people with time until December, because a lot of landlords, especially big corporation landlords and a lot of utility companies, can get money and let the rate payer or rent payer continue as is for a while. But all of that's an illusion, right? Because, you know, this can't go on forever. And when it's no longer important for those people to feel like they have homes, that is to say, right after the election, it ceases to be important what they think, then they're out on their ass. And their electricity is cut off, and there's nothing that's going to be done about it. And that's just, you know, that's just the world that we live in. That's just what things are right now.
Well, I'm going to give you a scenario, and it's a scenario you are not going to agree with, but that's okay. I just want to give you a scenario. And the scenario is, I think at this point I will say that if this were actually an election like other elections, meaning still fake, but fake in a way that sort of fit reality, I would say Trump wins. You know, as fake storylines go, Trump wins. So imagine Trump wins. But Kamala Harris doesn't do what you said. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I want you to imagine a different scenario. Kamala Harris gives a big speech. You know, I just got to say that this has been a tough year for everyone. And the best thing that we could do as Americans is to mend our wounds and forgive and find peace. What if she gives a reconciliation style speech when she basically gives her concession speech? And then basically Trump comes out and says, yes, reconciliation, peace, we need to come together. And then all of a sudden you get to the first thing, which is going to be the Bill Gates magical, everybody needs a pass and everybody needs a vaccine. So this is a scenario, and I'm going to let you go, but this is a scenario, Jim, where Trump is president, and as implausible as this sounds, the Democrats kind of rally around him a bit. And then what, dude? Then what?
Well, I don't think that there's a great deal of likelihood in this scenario, and I'll say a few things about that after I say what I think would happen then. But yes, I do think that could only be the intention of those who have the real power behind the thrones.
Right.
That scenario would only play out if it was intended to try to force through mandatory vaccination, mandatory digital pass, mandatory Federal Reserve digital currency, and replacing the dollar, and everybody's accounts are harvested, and everybody has effectively a social credit score like in China.
Yeah.
That I could see that level of control ideology. So one of the things about that scenario that I think is unlikely But, you know, you can flip it around and play your scenario with this. Is the very clear fact that Kamala Harris, I don't think, ever once got above 3% in the primaries. Do you remember the primary numbers? I don't remember her polling very well in the primaries.
Dude, to tell you the truth, I never really, I mean, I haven't believed in this shit since at least 2016, but in terms of 2020, once we entered into the unconstitutional period, once we entered into all of this bullshit martial law, I didn't take any of it seriously, any of the fucking primaries. How could anybody take that shit seriously at that point? You know what I mean?
Well, I don't think that it's been rational to take the primaries seriously since I stopped voting back in 90, I think 90 might have been the last congressional election I voted in. And I don't remember voting. I remember there was a long line and I thought I should just go back to the office. And I think I might have done that. I'm not sure. It's been a long time.
Right.
But I remember having that thought while I was waiting in line. And I know after 1991, I wasn't a voter. I wasn't going to play this anymore. So it's been a long time since I voted, and it's been a long time since I thought that this mattered. But I remember Amy Klobuchar or whatever her, you know, who is very similar in a lot of ways, prison industry profiteer, really loves slavery, really hates humanity. But I think she got up around 8 or 10%. Tulsi Gabbard never was allowed to appear to have more than like 2%. And I think the only delegates that she may have gotten were in like American Samoa. But I don't think Kamala Harris ever got above 3 or 5%, something really, really low. And if you wanted to have popular support for the presidential candidate, you would pick the most popular other presidential candidate in the Democratic Party to be vice president. And who would that be? Bernie Sanders. And Bernie Sanders is not willing to do the things that the superdelegates who really control the Democratic Party, the plantation owners, if you will, he's not willing to say and do the things that they want him to say and do, and that's why he's not been allowed to become the nominee, right?
Yeah, but I don't buy that either. I think that Bernie Sanders is a faker. I think if you look into his life, if you look into the rewards he got after 2016, and he did get rewarded for going along, I think he's a total fucking faker. I think he's full of shit. I think he's basically what I would call another one of these stealth Israeli representatives. He doesn't represent anybody in the United States of America. Bernie Sanders represents the state of Israel. That's my view on him.
Okay, well, let's say that Kamala Harris is someone who is clearly obedient to the will of the superdelegates. There can be no way in which you would pick one of the least popular candidates to be the vice presidential nominee. And there's no question that there was no convention. There was no, you know, process for the selected delegates to have any say at all in who is the vice president. You acknowledge that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we know that Kamala Harris will do whatever the deep state Democrats want. And I don't think that they want to acknowledge the possibility of defeat, because I believe that they think that there are enough hardcore Republicans who would make demands, and there's enough Ghislaine Maxwell information that a lot of them would spend the rest of their lives in prison, and they don't want to do that. That's my position on why Kamala Harris isn't going to make a concession speech and acknowledge any kind of adulation for Donald Trump. Instead, I think what's more likely and what the American people should be prepared to face is that the Kamala Harris government, whether it's Joe Biden still on the meat marionette or not, that government will say that the election was unfair and classic George Soros color revolution, and will say that UN peacekeeping troops led by the People's Republic of China ought to come to the United States. Millions of them ought to be sent in to enforce not only the election result that the Kamala Harris government demands, but also to enforce the United Nations protocols on small arms ownership by individuals.
Okay, can I pause you right there, Jim, if that's okay?
Yeah.
Because I think it's good to talk through this, but here's the thing. Having some experience with military logistics, if that is going to happen, it means that the PLA forces have already mobilized and are basically already prepared right now. Because you just don't do that a week before. That is
how would we know?
Well, I know as a matter of the physics of it. Like
how would we know whether or not the PLA had mobilized?
Well, I don't know.
They could be mobilized right now, and you and I would never know.
Okay, here's what I would say. If you assume that we have anyone working for our government that isn't a shitbag, shitbird, dirtbag, supposedly we're gazillions of dollars in debt to have spy satellites and spy programs and spy planes and spy tubes and spy submarines. We're always told how fucking good they are at what they do until something shitty happens, and then they say, oh, we need more money. But yeah, how would we know? I don't know, Jim. I don't trust these motherfuckers.
Well, I don't either, Dan, but I will offer you this thought. Taiwan.
Go ahead.
It has been stated in a lot of media that I read that the People's Republic of China wants to invade Taiwan, and they want to do it with their giant amphibious assault craft, and they want to do it after the monsoon season ends, which is the end of September.
Right.
And that's right about now. I don't know what the monsoons are doing in the Pacific because I've been a little busy lately. But I would say that the monsoons are ending, and the PLA mobilizing could be interpreted by Defense Department and National Reconnaissance Office analysts as evidence that the PLA is planning to attack Taiwan and not planning to deploy to the United States.
But you can at least you're a smart guy, Jim. You know that even today, mobilizing millions of people, that's not trivial. That's
It's not. It's not trivial at all. It's very, very difficult.
It's a lot of operations orders. It's a lot of cycles of planning. It's pre-mission training. There's rehearsal after rehearsal. In fact, when you think about this kind of operation, there better be a bunch of fucking rehearsals because a whole bunch of shit can go wrong with bum rushing port facilities. This was something they tried in World War II. To bum rush port facilities. It didn't always turn out so fucking good. So if you're going to bum rush a port facility in 2020, you better have all your fucking ducks in a row, I would say.
Well, that's assuming that the people who are in charge of port security are in favor of resistance.
And that means that has to, you see, this is my point, dude. That too is a part of the problem that has to be validated as part of the operation. That doesn't make things simpler. It makes things more complicated.
Well, I'm prepared to say that things are already fairly complicated and that the people involved are... You remember how parts of Belgium responded when the Nazis started coming through in 1940?
I think it was a mix.
It was a mix, exactly. There were places in Belgium that resisted, and these were largely the French-speaking provinces, parts of Belgium, cities and communities. And there were parts that kind of just like, you know, okay, we don't want to be killed, so, here are the keys, here's the fort, take good care, we're going to go home now. And you know, I think that there were people who didn't actively oppose the German aggression into Belgium because they saw the Germans as transitory. They're going to pass through Belgium and they're going to go invade France because that's who they hate. And if we stand up and stand in their way, they're going to gun us down and they're still going to get to France.
So in order for this to work, there's a couple other things the Chinese are going to have to do. They're going to have to take the submarine base at Bangor, Washington. They're going to have to somehow take out those people who would not go along at Fort Lewis McChord, the joint Air Force Army base. There's probably in Washington State between Everett, Bangor, and a few other places, Whidbey, at any point in time, and this is a rough estimate, people, but any point in time between Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Army, there's probably between, I would say, 50 to 100,000 forces here that are part of the federal forces. That doesn't include National Guard. So let's say it's 50,000, you know, spread out across multiple bases, okay? They're going to have to take care of that too, because a lot of people, even today, I have to believe in my heart, even if they don't really give a shit about the Constitution, a lot of people care about, like, their neighbors and people in their communities. So in order for the Chinese to do this, they're going to have to kill a lot of officers at Lewis McChord. In fact, it's going to be
And the ones that aren't already loyal to the deep state might be reassigned. They might be currently getting their orders to go, you know, be in North Carolina instead. I don't know, Dan.
That's DOD level, dude. That's executive level. That's the level at which that means Trump is a powerless nothing. If that is something they can currently do, if they can currently...
Or Trump is in on it.
Well, that's kind of my point, dude, is I don't actually believe this opposition exists. I don't believe there is any opposition. I think the dance, the theater, is a way to keep people confused. And so whatever's going to happen next, including a Chinese invasion, Trump will be in on it. Okay? Right. He will know about it. He would know about it already, probably.
Right, and so really, this is the ideal sort of thing for the failed state scenario for George Soros, billionaire, deep state, Bill Gates, all of the bad guys. They would want to have two governments of the United States, and both of them are really on their side. And it's more theater. And what does it justify? It justifies taking out all of the partisans. That is to say, all of the Americans who own guns and would resist and would think that they are supporting the Trump government because that's the legitimate government. They actually won the election. And getting rid of all of those armed Americans or taking their guns away from them and putting them in death camps is a goal that has been, you know, documented for many, many decades.
And this is the thing. This is a tough conversation because Jim and I have had our perspectives on what was going to happen. And what happened to me really started in August, but maybe it was in July when I encountered those Black Lives Matter commies on my street. And it was just glaringly obvious that these people have funding, they have resources, they have everything. People might, their businesses, somebody's business is going out of business. But by God, if your Black Lives Matters, you can get some fucking money. That became pretty fucking obvious to me by August. And so now where we're at, it's almost October, and I am thinking to myself, okay, so far this all looks like a mind fuck, and so far it looks like all the parties are involved. And then you say, okay, what if we have two governments the day after? My counter argument is, from a narrative perspective, they're better off. They're better off having the drama, all the drama they're going to have, and there's going to be more of it. There'll be protests and counter-protests and Black Lives Matter freaks. I'll probably see them a few more times before the election on 12th setting porta-potties on fire. But it really is just a bunch of fucking drama right now with some casualties, but a bunch of fucking drama. The reason why I brought up that scenario, Jim, is because I could see how the deep state would really, really succeed if they rallied around Trump post-election. And it sounds weird, maybe, but it's not. Because once you've done that, you've neutered the people who call themselves the MAGA people. You've pretty much co-opted the Q folks. In fact, there's a lot of Boogaloo folks, Jim, who would probably be co-opted at that point, too, without even knowing it. So as weird as it sounds, I can also see the scenario where on November the 4th, Biden concedes, you know, whatever that means from him. And then it's like, yeah, let's go ahead with the Bill Gates and the Kobe pass and the beast system. Let's call it what it is. This is the way to take the beast system and shove it further down the road. And so I can see your angle, and I can see it, and then I can see this other angle, and I'm really not sure which direction it's headed in.
I don't think I'm sure which direction it's headed in either, and I think that God has the power to know this, and I am not, I'm not working on that for God, so God hasn't been telling me all about that.
Yeah, and here's another thing, too, I was thinking, Jim, and this is a good conversation. I was thinking about this, too, and it's a very weird thought. But think about the people you know in the collapsitarian movement, people you know who are preppers and are ready for something. What would they do, as weird as this sounds? What happens on November the 4th or 5th? And I know you're going to say, Dan, you're crazy, but what happens to them if Trump, if there's conciliation and reconciliation, and then everyone says, yes, Trump's president, and then Trump says, well, we have work to do. Let's work with Bill Gates to get the Kobe pass. What do the collapsitarians and the Boogaloo folks do at that point?
Well, I think that the collapsitarians that I know and who are what I would say true believers or devout in their collapsitarian perspective are not interested in accepting a digital pass of any kind. They're not willing to accept an internal passport, and they would be willing to fight and even kill other people to prevent themselves from being vaccinated. I really do think that there are a lot of people who just aren't willing to play that. They don't see that as a... There's no real danger from COVID-19, and they don't see the need to do that.
Agreed.
To take a vaccination.
Agreed.
So they would fight.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would fight, but it would be very... Because there would not be a Trump government in exile, they would not... I don't think they would be as well organized as they would be if it were a Trump versus Harris government versus government.
Right, right. And the thing is, though, dude, as you pointed out, even if it did end up being Trump versus Harris, it's still fake. So basically, Boogaloo folks would choose...
Well, it's still probably fake. I actually don't know that it's fake, but yes, my position is that if the Trump administration had enough dedicated people to actually be what they say, they would already have arrested Hillary Clinton and John Podesta, for starters.
Yeah, yeah.
There would be some evidence that they were arresting some of these high-level FBI people who are known to have, there's now sworn testimony that they have, they lied directly to Congress and to courts, and there's no evidence that they're being put. There's indictable evidence. There's evidence to indict a bunch of these guys and gals, and they're not being indicted.
No, I wouldn't even say there's enough evidence at this point, based upon what I've seen, to indict the former President Obama.
I think Obama and Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden are all indictable, and the only one who's running for president is Joe Biden, so that's the only one who arguably shouldn't be currently, facing trial, because that just, it looks a little strange to have a presidential election going on with that happening. But I think all of them could be indicted, and none of them are indicted. People like, these different former directors of the CIA who were directors during the Trump administration and people in the FBI under both Obama and Trump. Are indictable, and they're not being indicted. So there's nothing about the situation that makes me think that the Trump administration is pure and holy and actually is interested in prosecuting child raping, mass murdering, war profiteers, and slavery profiteers. they're just, it's just not doing it. And nobody in this administration is doing it. And if they were doing it, then we'd have a different scenario. We could talk about it, but they're not. And so we, you know, it's just stupid to pretend that Trump is anything but a fake.
So here's the next topic that's related. So, and again, I say this, I'm going to say the second lockdown. The problem is, I don't think the first lockdown ever really ended. So what I'd like to talk about is super lockdown, which is to say that we're still in kind of a soft martial law right now. And I say that because, you know, people are standing up for themselves. They're not wearing the mask. And in many cases, they're not being attacked. But in some cases, they still are. And so in terms of between now and the election, do you think they're going to ratchet up the lockdown? Or do you think that's something that comes after the election?
I think that anything that makes things a lot worse economically will be seen as by them. They will see it as counterproductive and unnecessary. I think they're getting enough Karen enforcement of masks. These people who, you know, stand in hotel lobbies proudly wearing their masks and glaring at anyone who isn't wearing a mask are prone to call the cops and turn people in and demand compliance. And so they're getting enough of that. I don't think that they will do anything like that before the election. I think what they will do before the election is a lot of violence. They will use violence in various ways. And of course, you know, we have American traditions to uphold, Dan. And it is traditional ever since 1964 that there be an October surprise. Yeah. And I'm thinking this year that they won't be like satisfied, that there will be so many competing October surprises in the running that they'll pick like two or more, so that there will be, you know, October surprises maybe all month long.
So in the scenario I gave you, where Trump wins and Biden-Harris concedes in a respectful way.
Yeah.
One of the thoughts I had when we were talking about it, you were talking about, well, what would the collapsitarians do? And one of the thoughts I had was, I remember seeing this video, and it's like from a week ago, of this mother at some type of sporting event. And she's basically getting dragged away by the local school. The school cop is dragging her away, and then I think other police showed up, or sheriffs. But also, a lot of her friends and neighbors were just sitting in the fucking stands watching this. So here's what I think. I think that if they did the scenario I described, which is the rally around Trump, let me mention one other thing too. I feel like the United States is currently being, well, not the country itself in a physical sense, but we're all being fucking strangled. And if all of a sudden on November the 4th, they let go a little bit so we could get our fucking air, then I think a lot of these people, and I love them, these collapsitarians, these boogaloo, could find themselves lonelier than they realize. Because I don't know that most Americans want to be free. I don't. It's just like what you said. You said you don't know. I don't know the hearts and minds of most Americans. I do know history, and there are many times in history where people get deceived and become slavish. So do I think we're a people ready to become free, or do I think we're a people mostly, or at least enough people, who like their slavery as long as they can get their fucking food, as long as they can have their fucking cable TV and internet? I just don't know. I don't know how isolated.
Well, I've been over this before, and I think that there are really, you know, four identifiable groups politically in the United States. And numerically the largest, which I would estimate is around 120 million people at this point, don't vote, don't want to participate in the system, don't like the way things are going, and don't want to participate in their own enslavement. And I mention that because 115 million adults didn't vote in 2016, and 123 million didn't vote in 2018. And so I'm just saying that I think that is the numerically largest group. It's obviously not a majority in the supposedly 332 million American country. The next largest group, I think, is probably the Democrats 66 million of whom, more or less, voted for Hillary Clinton. And then the next largest group is Republicans. 63 million, we're told, voted for Trump. And then there are, you know, libertarians and independent voters who are voters and not, you know, part of the non-voting, voluntarist or non-participatory, you know, apathetic or, you know, convinced non-voters. And that's like, you know, maybe 7 million other people, Green Party, libertarians, independents, Constitution, all of these weirdos. And that takes care of most of the country, right? I mean, am I wrong?
Your math is fine for purposes.
Because remember, there are 75 million kids. So if we have 120 plus 66 plus 63 plus the 75 million kids, that's 324. And then I add 7 and I get 331. So I'm pretty fucking close. To the 332 million that we're told is what we have.
Right.
So that's where I am about this, is that we have those four groups, and of those, I think, in my opinion, based on the people I know and the conversations I've had and the sort of, you know, pulse I've taken of the country, the 120 million people who don't vote are the ones who are best armed and have the most ammo and have done the most thinking about what's going on and are most likely to be out in the provinces, out in the countryside. They have food and water for a while. They know they can invite some of their friends and not all of them. And they've probably, most of them, figured out which friends they want to invite. And if you know, if any of the listeners tonight have not been invited by their friends who live in the country, I'm sorry, guys.
You did. You did. Just say it like it is, dude. Just say it like it is.
You're not going to get that invite if you haven't been invited by now. If there isn't a pre-election rendezvous that you have been told about, then you're not going to get that invite. And you need to be thinking, guys, gals, people, whatever, you know, gender fluids, whatever you want to say about yourself, you need to be thinking about getting through this. And if you're not thinking about that, then you're not going to get anywhere. What's happening is bad. If you haven't figured that out, I don't know what to say. I can't help you. You're too stupid to be, you know, listening to me. Yeah. If you have figured out that things are bad and you should be doing something, and you haven't been invited by your friends who have acreage in the countryside to go help them work on their farm and stand a post and carry a gun and be prepared to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada, as in The Last Starfighter, then you need to be thinking about solving these problems yourself, which means that you need to be thinking about not being in the big cities and having a supply of food and having some acreage to grow some food. And there is a little time. There is October. We're pretty much SOL if you had to do things in September like I did. You know, you have a few days left. I have some stuff. I am the steward for some things in Dayton, Ohio that I'm making plans to go get. But other than that, you know, there's not a lot of September left, and if you haven't already sold your home, October is what you got. And if you're not selling your home in a big city, if you're not planning to move out of the Los Angeles basin or the San Francisco Bay Area or Portland or Seattle, I can't help you. I don't know how to fix your problems. Your problems are so big, I can't fix them. And if your plan is to stick it out in one of those hell zones, I don't think you're going to go. I don't think the odds are really good for you. I'm not even sorry. I don't even know how to say this.
Well,
but if you're living in New York City,
yeah,
if you're living on Long Island, if you're living in Baltimore, if you're living in the middle of Philadelphia, if you're living in Washington, D.C., it's very likely that you are going to be fully out of luck. You're going to be facing a death camp. And I think that's going to go for some big cities like Chicago and Atlanta and Milwaukee. And I don't know what to do to help you except to say, you have a little time, make plans, get out.
Yeah.
You know, well, realize the value in your home by selling it and use that to get some land somewhere in the mountains of the Appalachians or the Rockies or the Ozarks and get out. Get
right,
out.
Right, right. But can I at least explain my side on this, if that's okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, go.
Number one, I knew my situation 5 years ago. So I didn't need a weather report. I knew exactly what my odds were. My odds are not great. Secondly, I got lots of family here. So because of where I'm at right now in terms of my family and my friends here, I'm probably going to be sticking it out in a place that is going to be difficult, untenable, painful, disastrous, really bad. Okay? So people have reasons for doing the things they do. I agree with you. Okay? The cities are going to be terrible. And when I say terrible, I don't even have words to describe what I don't have words to describe today what I'll see. On the other hand, I made a promise to Jesus that this is where I'm standing. This is where I'm going to build a church for him. So, and the other thing is this, I believe in God. So, you know, does God protect idiots? No, not necessarily. Maybe sometimes, but I do think Jesus looks out for us even in the most difficult times. So I've made my choice. I think I'm going to be here when this all goes down.
There's another thing that has been said, and God has said this in various ways through the prophets, and then Jesus said it, that if you pick up your cross and follow him, one of the things that you can be certain of is that you will be persecuted by those who hate God.
Yes. And guess what? One of the forces in my life that directed me towards God was about 12, 13 years ago when I started seeing which direction things were going. Because it was the persecution of Christians. Not totally, but it was attacks upon Christians. Attacks that made no sense. That was one of the things that led me towards Christ. I know that sounds weird, but I've always been a sucker for the underdog. I've always wanted to ask, why is that person or that group being beat up? There's a question there that we should ask. And then that question led to other questions. So you're right, Jim. If I stay in a city, knowing what I know, I will be persecuted if they can catch me. And why couldn't they catch me? Why couldn't they get to people like me? So you're right, dude. And I know that it's going to be bad. And it also probably means that in all likelihood, I'm looking at the last year of my life. I'm not trying to be dramatic. I'm just simply stating facts. Probabilities are really bad for people in cities at this point. Okay? And we, you know, we barely talked about what's going to happen when the real violence hits. But what's going to happen before the real violence are things like blackouts, shortages, and other things. And if Jim is right, if the Chinese tried to bum rush the West Coast, that's going to be horrific. Because no army in the history of the world has ever had enough control of the battlefield to guarantee success. So what is most likely, even if they do achieve a kind of success, is a terrible fucking bloody mess. And what is very likely is that we get into a nuclear exchange. That's my opinion. I think if the Chinese bum rush the West Coast, somebody is going to get an itchy trigger finger. And once that starts...
Well, that's assuming that it's not all a masquerade and a theater.
Has ever controlled a campaign like this without error. It reminds me of the Schlieffen people. Like, oh, all of our troops will be home before the leaves fall. It's just not possible. So something will go wrong, is my point, dude. Okay? There's never been a campaign at this level, at this stage, where something didn't go wrong. There's never been. And so it's hard for me to imagine that they're going to pull this off. And then I add to that, to me, the Chinese government looks more incompetent, stupid, and evil than our own. So I have to wonder, is there something special about the Chinese people that they're more obedient to irrational authority? The truth is, Jim, China, the country we call China, is really not one country. That's A. And B, for the last 200 years, China has spent most of its time in civil war, what we call China. So there's a lot of things about this that I think go really bad, really fast for everybody. Everybody. I agree.
I don't think that there are any scenarios where human beings take control of their destinies and work all of this stuff out, and the bad guys lose and the good guys win, that don't involve an enormous amount of bloodshed.
Yeah.
And if there were, I would be right now talking all about what to do and how people should do it to avoid the bloodshed. And I don't see that happening. I don't think that the people who want to worship Moloch and rape children for the rest of eternity are going to allow any scenario where human beings are in charge of our destinies to work out, with them being executed or put in prison or killed during the war, and the rest of us triumphing independently and without God's help. And I think if God saw that we were, you know, in possession of a strategy and a plan where we could work it out on our own, you know, he would encourage the ones who needed encouragement, and he would help, you know, bolster the ones who were, you know, beyond help. And he would do his part, and that would be going on now. And I don't think that that's where we are. I think where we are as a human race is that we need God to intervene, and we need divine intervention. That's where things stand. If we are going to have anything like freedom, if we are going to have anything like a peaceful future, not immediately, I don't think that's in the cards. I don't think that's available in any way. But at some point, if we're going to get there to a free and prosperous and peaceful future, we need God's help. And the good news, in my opinion, and my understanding of the truth, is that God is with us.
And that is the key, I think, amongst many things we think about when we confront these weeks with trepidation, is that Jesus Christ is with us, as Jim says. And that is a powerful thing. But it's also true in the Old and New Testament that God has made it clear that there are points at which we run out of rope. Okay? And there's no, and the only thing left for us, and I'm sorry, is some type of destruction. And the question that I have been asking since 2015 is, what is more likely in that scenario? You know, if I look at the deeds of the United States of America since World War II, just since World War II, okay, only since then, I see a nation that's built an empire, that's built power, that has stolen resources and wealth, that has lied about its principles, that's lied about the things it says it believes in. So it's been deceptive. It's been a liar, it's been an empire, and it's been a murderer and a torturer. That's what we have been. Not us, not you, Jim, not me, but the government that hangs over our heads has been that since at least 1945. And so if I ask myself, for all the millions murdered in Vietnam, in Korea, other places, for all the men, women, children droned and murdered, for all the death and torture, what is coming for us? Is it a great miracle, or is it a chastisement? And that's the thing, Jim. I think it's going to be a chastisement. I don't believe that Christ wants to reward murder and torture and militarism and destruction
and
thievery.
I agree with that. I agree that there will be chastisement for those who need to be chastised. But there is also an important aspect of the nature of God, and this is something the prophets kept saying in the Old Testament, and is something that Jesus lived to demonstrate, and that is that God loves mercy. And
well, true.
God knew and understood that the law was untenable, that people were not going to follow the law, and he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross, to suffer under Pontius Pilate, in order for him to take the punishment for us, for our sins so that our sins could be expiated.
I agree.
This was the only way this could happen.
Yeah.
And so I do believe can I
pause you on that for a second, Jim? In Matthew 11, 20 through 24, Jesus explicitly says that I think it's Bethsaida, Capernaum, and Chorazin or something. These three cities were doomed. Doomed. He didn't say if they change. It's like you were given a chance and now you're doomed.
Yeah.
So what's your response to that?
Well, I wasn't finished developing what I was going to say before you asked me this question.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Continue. Well, so I would like to refer to a different passage in the Bible because I was kind of hit over the head with this on the 20th of October, about 10:15 in the morning. I'm not sure of the exact time, but I was in Waynesville, Ohio, at the meeting for worship that preceded the business of the Miami Quarterly Meeting, which is a regional organization of Quakers. And I was sitting there when Meeting for Worship started, and I was holding a Bible that I had picked out of the library at that meeting house that had, a nice leather binding, and it had the passages that Jesus says are in red. And I was reading, and I'm pretty sure I was in Luke chapter 7, and I was reading some of the things on that page in that Bible that were in red because I wanted to get more closely in touch with things that Jesus said. And I closed my eyes because Meeting for Worship had started, and I said in my mind the prayer that I always say at the beginning of meeting. And then instead of closing the Bible and running my thumb along the edge of the pages, which is what I usually do when I ask this question, instead I said in my mind, God, if there is a passage that I should read aloud, please reveal it to me. And I opened my eyes. And the Bible was not turned to any part of the New Testament. On the right-hand side of the pages, the page in front of me on the right-hand side was the cover page for the New Testament. And on the left, Malachi chapter 4.
Right.
And I felt whether I should turn forward and look at the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, and I felt very clearly that that was not correct, that I should look at the beginning of chapter 4 and I should read chapter 4. And I read through chapter 4 and I picked out a couple of verses and I spoke them aloud. And I think that this, I believe that I was led to that verse because this is the intention that God wants me to know, and he wants everyone to know. And it was happening at the time that all of these events that we now know were happening in October. The World Military Games in Wuhan and the release of the virus and the, you and I did not hear about Event 201 back last October. We didn't know that $100 billion contact tracing agreement contract had been let by the federal government to the new Bill Gates organization. We didn't know all of these things, but God knew them. We didn't know that an abomination had been placed in the Church of Santa Maria in Rome. Mother Mary's church in Rome. The person calling himself Pope Francis put a pagan idol in her church.
Yeah.
Last October. God knew these things. I didn't know these things. You didn't know these things. None of us had heard about all of this. But God knew. And God sent me to that chapter. God put that Bible in that condition because God wanted me to know that that was what was coming. And what is coming? What is coming is that God will send fire against those who are evil and will destroy them. And those of us who are righteous will crush our enemies beneath our boots like ashes. And then he will send the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. And if that doesn't work, then he will smite the earth with a curse. But I think he does not want to smite the entire earth with a curse. He wants to take out the evil ones and show us that if we would only, you know, it's not hard, people. It's not really a difficult thing that God asks. Just love one another. If you would just love one another, if you would just love one another, love God, love your neighbor, love yourself, then you can have 1,000 years of peace and prosperity and success. You can settle this solar system and the nearby solar systems. You can go out and explore them. You can have the prosperity and the success of unimaginable rivers of wealth. If you would just love one another, please.
I agree with that. Can I put another straw man up there for you to take
do
your
it,
sword
brother,
to?
Do it. Okay. I love you, Dan. You are always good with these straw people.
Yeah, well,
you are the straw person of the hour.
Wow.
Go for it.
Thank you. That's not right, you know. Boy. No,
You're the scarecrow rustler. That's who you are. You're a roustabout, moving the scarecrows around and scaring Karen.
Ugh, maybe. I don't know.
Hey, that scarecrow is not wearing a mask.
Oh, boy.
Send the police.
I think Karens are a kind of scarecrow, but that's a whole nother topic. Okay, I got a question for you because
I'm here.
It's fair to say you're an outer space enthusiast. Is that a fair statement?
I always have been.
Okay.
Since I was 5, I heard Frank Borman reading the Book of Genesis while he orbited the moon in 1968.
You heard so, Frank Borman in a basement at Langley. Sorry.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
No,
it was a Disney studio. Stanley Kubrick did all of the, the special effects.
No, but you're a space enthusiast, so I have a question for you. It's kind of related to one of these straw men weird sort of scenarios that's come up in recent weeks vis-a-vis Trump. And I was listening to it because it came up when I was listening to this person on the alt side talk about Trump. And they said, well, Trump, this is what's going to happen. He's going to go on the Joe Rogan show. And then he's going to disclose to people the truth about UFOs. And that even though we're heading towards some kind of a reset, and this is the word they use now, folks. I've been talking about the great discontinuity for a couple years now. The word they use is reset. You really need to meditate on that. There's a difference. But he says there'll be a reset, and then Trump will give out the super technologies of the aliens, and it will soften the blow. So, like, things won't be too bad. And all you have to do is just get on board with the new alien tech. What do you think about this idea that Trump has a disclosure card, you know, up his sleeve? Do you think that's even a viable position at this point?
Well, there is the Saint Germain Nasara Gasara financial reset that some people talk about. If you go to YouTube and you type in Probably Alexandra, you can find a YouTube channel. She calls herself Probably Alexandra. I'm guessing that her name is Alexandra, but that's only like stochastically probable. I don't know. It's Probably Alexandra. And she has some Mark of the Beast related videos in which she talks about, well, look, you know, they've kind of announced that they've got this thing called the Saint Germain Trust, which has $400 trillion or some, you know, ridiculously large amount of money. I don't know if that's the number, but, you know, they have all of the money that they could possibly want, and they will make this available, and it'll be all under a new digital monetary system, and everything will be, you know, will be tied to your digital implant. So all you gotta do is take the Mark of the Beast, and then they'll let you trade and have commerce.
That's
and I have heard this. I have heard this, and this goes in line with the, you know, the alien technologies. Or people have said for many, many years and I started hearing this in the 70s, so I'm like really old. They have said that, you know, cancer has been cured. The common cold has been cured. There are engines that you can run on water. There are ways in which, you know, you can use all of these other worldly technologies, and really it's ridiculous that we're all so poor and that we're all so, you know, traumatized, and the people who run the system are hiding all of this and have been hiding all of this from us for decades. And so when they're ready, they will reset the system, and they will make you, or bribe you to, take the mark of their master.
Right.
Who is not Saint Germain, who is in fact Satan.
And that's its own thing. Saint Germain is kind of a legend about a person that supposedly wouldn't die, right? Lived forever or something?
Lived hundreds of years, lived some long period of time, is considered an ascended master by some of the New Age weirdos, you know, crystal this and aura that. And I don't know. I mean, listen, I studied history. I went to a university that had some millions of books in Butler Library, including, like, I remember thumbing through a book that was published sometime in the 1600s, and it was just sitting in its stacks, you know, falling apart, but it was not, you know, in a special collection. They had so many books at Columbia, and I remember learning history in a way that it had not been taught in grade school, it had not been taught in my high school. I learned history at Columbia that I thought was, you know, a new revelation about the real history. And I don't know who Saint Germain was, and the things I've read about him on Wikipedia and seen in various, you know, YouTube videos, I don't know that I believe about him. Yeah. But I do know that the great deceiver, Satan, has a lot of names. You know, Gadriel is one of his names, Lord of the Flies, Beelzebub. There
old
are a lot
Nick.
Of different names
old
for all
Nick.
Of these.
Old Nick.
Old Nick. Old MacDonald had a Nick.
Old Nick.
Yeah. He nicked himself shaved.
No, the Devil Scratch. Also another name for the Devil Scratch.
Yeah, so there's lots of names. And that's one of the reasons, you know, you should probably give up shaving, people. Just, it's bad for you. It'll cause you to have a Nick or a Scratch, and you don't want that.
No, you don't. You don't. So here's the thing.
Besides, shaving goo is expensive. I don't know. That stuff is like $4 or $5 a can, and then you got razors. You have to replace the razors. I say save your money.
Yeah.
Spend it on beer.
So if someone says to you that Donald Trump is going to release all the truth about the UFOs, your impression, is that a realistic scenario in the near future?
Well, as realistic as any other scenario, because this is 2020, brother. I mean, 2020 is just the year in which every wacky thing that could possibly not be believed in 2014 is now just, oh, that's just happening. Yeah, yeah. Oh, people are being told to wear masks, and they're just showing up at the store wearing a fucking mask. Who would have thought that? Who would have thought Americans would buy into this garbage, this horse shit.
Yeah, well, I mean, after 9/11, very little has surprised me.
Right, no, absolutely. I mean, after 1991, very little surprised me. I thought that they were, you know, completely crazy and lying their asses off. And off and on, I have said, look, if we could just have the limits of the Constitution, if we could just have that much limiting, no. I no longer say that because obviously that was part of the whole, you know. This has been orchestrated for hundreds of years by really evil people.
Yeah.
And they saw all of this. I mean, Lysander Spooner was right in 1874 when he said that the Constitution has either authorized such a government as we have had or it has been powerless to prevent it. And I say it has authorized the government that we have had and that it was written this way and it was designed to do exactly what's going on. And that the enslavement of the American people and the enslavement of the human race has been and was the goal because it was written by plantation owners. Alexander Hamilton grew up on a plantation in Nevis, and he was not a slave.
Yeah.
George Washington was at that convention. You know, Plantation owner. First president under the new Constitution. Plantation owner. Thomas Jefferson was in France at the time because he was reluctant to participate in some of this shenanigans. But he worked with James Madison, and both Jefferson and Madison were plantation owners. So really, you know, there's a lot of plantation in this whole way of doing things. And if Americans are surprised that they aren't the overseers and they aren't the plantation owners, they have only one person to look to understand who gets to run their life. What sort of person gets to run their life? Look at Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
She's not an American, she's Jamaican, and her ancestors owned slaves in Jamaica. She comes from plantation owner. This is who they have in mind to run their new government.
Yeah. So I got another scenario for you I want to knock down or at least talk about.
Go for it.
So there's this dude, and I stopped listening to him about 3 years ago, but there's this dude I would listen to between 2012 and maybe a couple years ago by the name of Bix Weir, and he has a site called Road to Root A. I think, you know, the Root A is a reference to the rational curve for the value of money, which in some strange way he interpreted as some grand conspiracy involving Alan Greenspan. But his basic argument involves something like, there are millions of tons, or something like that, of gold in the Grand Canyon that our government knows about, that it can easily access, and they deliberately did this. Like, he's saying they deliberately did all the money printing because, presto change-o, at some point in the future, they're going to reveal the massive gold hoard and then go back on the gold system and release all the super technology, and everything will be fine. And just coast into the future. What do you think about that scenario after November the 3rd?
Well, I don't mind people having optimistic scenarios about how everything is going to be okay. But you do see how what that is saying is basically, in effect, deus ex machina. They're basically saying that everything you see around you makes no sense. The world is run by crazy people who hate us, and they're going to do something wonderful. And my thought is, all right, so if that were God that they were saying was going to do something wonderful, I would believe that it's genuinely a wonderful thing, and that God has, you know, miracles, and will do whatever he can to make our lives wonderful. And so I would believe that. But they're not saying that it's God. They're saying that it's people. It's the Federal Reserve. It's Alan Greenspan. It's Saint Germain. It's this. It's that. And to me, being the kind of guy who grew up as a child of like 12, 13, 14, learning sleight of hand, learning card tricks, learning magic, like performing for my friends at like birthday parties and pulling rabbits out of hats. I'm looking for the catch. I'm looking for what's the trick? What's their goal? Because their goal, if their goal, Dan, were to serve mankind and make us happy and love their neighbor and love God and be good people, wouldn't they have already released all of this stuff? Wouldn't they have already helped billions of people live longer, healthier lives?
Right. Well, what he says is our Federal Reserve, our government, is trying to basically set up all the other governments for failure. That there's a grand strategy of the United States ending up on top. I don't believe what he's talking about. I think I'm not saying he's a bad actor. I think I don't know if he believes it, but let's assume he does. But I even if he does believe the shit he's saying, it doesn't make any sense to me for the reason you just pointed out in a way. But the point is, he would say, well, the reason why they're doing this is so that they can bankrupt the world and then throw all this gold out there and then, oh, look at all the gold we got. It doesn't make a lot of sense. But this guy has a voice, dude. Like, people listen to him and they invest based upon what he says.
People listened to Paris Hilton.
Oh, true.
And she was famous because of a home movie. So people listen to Kim Kardashian for fashion advice, and I don't get it. Again, home movie.
Yeah.
I don't understand why people listen to, I'm going to say, Kanye West. But he has an audience. I don't understand why people have you know, an interest in the Twitter rantings of Elon Musk, but he has a lot of followers. I don't know. People listen to a lot of stupid things. So the fact that people listen to this guy doesn't impress me as much as it might.
I wasn't trying to impress you. It was more like he gets a voice. Like, I know pretty much everywhere I go, even places I pay, like SoundCloud, I get shadow banned. I have proof of this. I actually have a person who's donated money to me, and his account got deleted like every fucking month last year. And so I think about these people, and they don't get shadow banned, and they don't get blocked everywhere they go. So clearly, according to the powers that be, he's saying something they want people to hear. You know what I'm saying? Even if it's just a psyop, even if it's just bullshit, you know?
I agree. I think that there is no question that people who have an audience are saying things that they're allowed to say to an audience. And people like you and me aren't supposed to be allowed to do this. And you know, I think maybe God is intervening to help a few people. But you know, it's not rational to believe that there are these compassionate beings, these compassionate people who would give all of this technology and all of this wealth and all of this opportunity and possibility only after they had bankrupted all of the other nations in the world. That just doesn't make sense. And so what would be the catch, in my opinion? What would be the trick that they're trying to pull? Well, the catch is that you don't get any of this unless you take the mark of the beast. You don't get any of this unless you worship the devil. You don't get any of this unless you agree to have your life sold into slavery. They want everybody to be bankrupted and impoverished and willing to sell themselves into slavery, and then they're going to do all of this great stuff. Well, that's not okay. That's not fair. That's not right. That's not decent. And what happens to people who sell themselves into slavery? They find out that it was flim-flam. They did sell themselves into slavery, and then they didn't get all of the good stuff.
No.
So I don't, you know, Mama didn't raise a bunch of stupid people. My mama and my dad and my brothers and I would sit around the dining room table, and we generally had breakfast every day, and we generally had dinner every day. 6 p.m. for dinner, and like 7 or 7:30 for breakfast. And we ate together, and we talked together, and we would, when my brothers and I would watch television, we would make fun of the commercials, we would think about all of the things that were wrong with what we were being told. I was a debater in high school. Two of my older brothers were as well. I won trophies, you know. I won debate tournaments because I'm not stupid. And I think people who believe that there are some wonderful human beings waiting in the wings who are going to solve all of our problems and do wonderful, miraculous things and reset the financial system and everyone is going to be happy ever after, I think those people are blithering idiots.
So here's the last thing I'd like to talk about. Before we do that, you mentioned there were two things you wanted to talk about, and
yeah, let's do your last topic, and then we'll do mine. Mine's quick.
Well, mine should be reasonably quick because we've discussed it before, and we kind of already have discussed it today. But I think it's worth thinking about. So basically, a year ago, around Thanksgiving, I told siblings, I said, starting now, you need to start keeping a lot of extra food on hand. And this is way before I knew about the monkey herpes, way before I had any clue. I had indications other things were wrong. And so a year ago, I had an indication that 2020 would be a shit show. I just didn't know what kind of shit show. And it turned out to be a very, very special kind. So my question right now is, because again, it's a practical matter, at what point are we going to start seeing really, really, really severe food shortages? And I don't know if you've thought about that, because for me, it's like, yes, they bought themselves time with this lockdown, but how much time have they really bought? And at what point are we going to become aware, or maybe we won't? You know, the thing about this it could all work until it doesn't. And next week, I could go to the grocery store and it could be half empty. That's how quickly things like this could happen. So I guess, Jim, I was wondering, do you know a lot of people, okay? You have connections. Do you have any indication from your perspective what the current situation is, not just with a breadbasket here in this country, but in general, the food situation of the planet?
Well, there's been a huge locust plague, you know, infestation all over Africa that spread across the Middle East and into Pakistan. And last I heard, India and China were cooperating to deploy like ducks to eat the locusts. But that has had dramatic effects on the food production in Africa. So I think that in terms of food shortages, we're already there as a human race in terms of Africa and parts of Asia. And I would not suggest that Americans would be wise to think that their grocery stores are going to work after the 5th of November. I think you should plan on having a supply of food when they announce the election on the 4th. When they announce whatever they're going to announce, because they're going to announce a result, whether the result is we don't know who won, or we know it was Trump, or we know it was Kamala, they're going to announce a result, and you need to be prepared for that, because whatever they're doing, they will be doing big time right after that, so you should have several months of food. And why several months? 6 months to a year of food, because it's winter time.
Yeah.
You're going to have to face the fact that you're not going to be planting a big crop in November. You can plant garlic in November in temperate zones below the Interstate 70 latitude, but you're not going to plant a lot of crops that are going to ripen and like 60 to 90 days, unless they're in greenhouses, unless you've got indoor growing space. Some people do. But, you know, if you're planning to get to spring and do planting and then have some summer harvest, because people do plant things in the spring that grow really fast, you know, and there are fruit trees and nut trees that bear in the summer. So there are things to eat starting in the summer, but if you can't last from November until June with the food you have on hand, you know, you should be thinking about that. You should be making plans. Buy some canned goods.
Yeah.
Buy some dried food. Rice and beans, they're dry. You can store them a long time. They don't really go bad for 3 years. And you can get tons of this stuff. You can still buy that. You can have Amazon deliver it for all I care. But if you're not thinking about being able to eat for the 6 months following November, I don't know what to tell you, people. I mean, you know, you have October. Be thinking about it. If you're not thinking about it, then you're not thinking at all. And I'm sorry, but you're inviting yourself out of the gene pool.
I'm just going to defend myself here and say the following, that I wish I were in a different spot today versus where I'm at in terms of being totally burnt up and used up. But the fact is, financially and even just personally, I don't really have the resources. And also, I know this, and also, I'm okay with it. I prayed to the Lord in heaven about it, and I've accepted my situation. I've had a good life. I've had a really good life. So I'm at peace with whatever happens next. And I think there are people like me. Now, of course, I don't have kids. Nobody depends upon me. So if I, you know, blip out of existence, that happens. That's life, people. That's reality. People die.
Well, the listeners to this show would be very sad and disappointed. And we will memorialize you, you fuck.
Yeah, the problem is, though, is that by the time that becomes an issue... Let's just think about your scenario a little bit before I pass it back to your final topic. If we get into your scenario and the country is split in more than one piece, one of the things I would also ask people to do right now is call and contact people in other parts of the country, friends and family you haven't spoken to in a while. Because there's a very good chance in about 90 days, you won't be able to talk to them again unless you go there in person. Because if this split, I'm saying 90 on the outside, because I'm not sure how rapidly shit will degrade after. I'm saying 90 is kind of a conservative. But you're right. Could be 40 days. Could be sooner. Actually, I've been telling people, as of right now, you should not assume that phones will be working or the internet will be working. So another good piece of advice, and this is not the food, but this is more like food for the soul. Another good piece of advice right now, folks, is while your phones are working, while email works, if there's someone you haven't spoken to in years, get cracking. Now's a good time. And I would also say, and I would hope and pray, that you don't let the bullshit politics get between you and the people you love. I would pray that you do that. I pray that you move beyond that. But I don't know. Hey, dude, you had a topic we want to tackle before we close out. Let's dig in.
Well, I just wanted to mention that I did go to a summit led by Apostle John Arcovio. And if people are interested in that topic and that event, there will be some videos about it and some information about it available at SpiritLed, SpiritLed, and I think that's .org.net and .com, but you can look that up. And if you get something weird out of one of those, then just let me know. But there were a lot of miracles at this event. I saw someone who has been suffering from fibromyalgia for almost all of her life, since, like, you know, a child, fully healed. I was told that I will be given a spiritual boot camp to learn a lot of principles of spirituality that I need to know. And I will be also led to a spiritual home that will be everything I've wanted. And there were other miracles, and I'm not going to share about all of them. But my point is that I know God is working in our world, and that God loves us and wants us to love one another and love ourselves and love God. And one of the things about that impressed me most about this was that part of that process is accepting the love of Jesus. You know, when Jesus hears from you that you love him, that's great. It's great and it's awesome. It's really important that you love Jesus, but it's also really important that you accept the love of Jesus. Accept Jesus into your heart and accept that he loves you. Accept his love for you, because that's part of this understanding of how the universe really works is accepting Jesus' love.
I think that's good. I think that's critical, and I have to say I'm glad to end it on this, because, you know, as often as not, Jim and I talk about a lot of very challenging and sometimes distressing topics. But at the end of the day, you know, and Jim can speak for himself, I have my life, I have my friends and family, Jim's one of my friends, I have my existence, and I have my love for Jesus. And it's also true, it's not just enough to love, you have to basically accept the love. And that is hard. That can be very difficult. I'm speaking for myself here, but in terms of accepting the love of Jesus, that was after I found my faith, my next big hurdle was believing not just that there's a God, but that God loved me and I was saved, and that, yeah, there is love there for me, even for me, because I might have thought of myself as being irredeemable. I know a lot of us feel that way sometimes. So this is a good thing to end on, Jim. I appreciate it. And it is true. Miracles are happening more often than we realize. You know, Jim, one of the things that occurred to me before we end this thing today is that the mask does so many things. But you know what one of the horrible things that the mask and the lockdown does? It is an attempt. It's not perfect. It can't win. But it is an attempt at taking away our spiritual power. Because through our voice, through our smiles, through our compassion that's expressed through our face, we can heal each other.
Yes.
And it's horrible because that is attack upon Christ. It's attack upon Christ's people. It's an attack upon miracles. It can't win. It can't succeed. But it is a really crummy attack upon the miracles.
It's a terrible thing. And if you can imagine people who have Alzheimer's, who have dementia, and are being cared for by people, a year ago, they could look at those people and at least see that they were smiling and knew that they were not meaning to hurt them. And now they all have to wear masks. And these people in nursing homes are scared to death of the people who are trying to care for them because of these evil mask edicts. And it must be ended. It must be stopped.
Yeah.
And well, it will be.
It will be. Jim, for this Sunday, I really want to thank you for joining me again. You've been on a big, you've been on a huge journey the last few weeks, and it's something where I expect over the next few weeks you'll have a lot more to talk about, and certainly as we get closer to the election, we'll have more to talk about. Really appreciate your time. Really appreciate you, dude. And
yeah, thank you, brother.
Thank you. And for all the listeners out there, thank you for listening. Please, please take care of the people you love. And by all means, if you haven't spoken to somebody in a long time, don't let the politics get between people you and people you love. Don't let the Trump or the Biden crap get between you and people you love. Pick up the phone and call someone you haven't spoken to in a long time. And if you've been putting it off, you need to stop putting it off. That's just...
And make plans to go visit. Make plans to see each other.
Yes.
It may be a long time before you see each other again, and it may be in heaven.
It may be. I mean, the sad, sad, dark truth, Jim, is that barring some miracle, and miracles do occur, you know, I don't know when I'm going to see you again in person. Because even though we both live in the same country, we're getting to the point now where going a few miles is like going 1,000. And it's scary. And I would like to see you in person again. At least.
Well, we will pray for God to make that happen for us, brother. Okay. And good things will occur.
That being said, dude, you have a good one. And for all the listeners out there, you have a good rest of your weekend, and I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.